Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Sweet Sweet Garbage. For you this week, we have 2012's Lifetime, Liz and Dick, which is about Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. And it's a movie. It's a movie. Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little more in depth about what it sort of is, Jenna?
Yeah. Although I just found the IMDb synopsis and it's like super vague. Literally all it says is Liz and Dick, the torrid relationship between Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, which like, yeah, that is what the movie is about, but
it kind of seemed that, I mean, what more is the movie about outside of that? No, there's like a poster of it on IMDb and it says Lindsay Lohan as Elizabeth Taylor, controversial love affairs, diamonds, provocative, scandal, tabloid, front page, child star, beautiful leading lady, sexy paparazzi. I was like, well, what are you doing, Lifetime?
I really think they were trying to, like, you know, draw the parallels between Lindsay Lohan and Elizabeth Taylor. And I really think they tried to lean into it, like, for the marketing.
Yeah, I think it was like Lindsay Lohan wasn't acting in certain scenes with this. Because outside of her, like, never being married. And sure, she's, like, we kind of, I just felt like we never really cared about, like, Lindsay Lohan's, like, dating life. Okay, cool, she dated, like, Wilma Valderrama when she was, like, 18. That was, like, the most scandalous thing she did. But outside of that, it was just, like, the fact that she herself just had this, like, shitty personal life. And then her movie career just derailed when it should have been nothing but, like, it's funny. Like, the last good movie she made was Mean Girls. When the last good movie you make is Mean Girls, that should be, like, the first good movie you make.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, there's no possible way why your career should be shit after you star in Mean Girls. And not just, like, star in Mean Girls. Like, you're great in Mean Girls. That's, like, I think Lindsay Lohan's career has always fascinated me in the fact that she is as good as she actually is and has sort of failed in a weird way. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just, like, I can't explain when you watch Mean Girls. And, of course, you're like, Rachel McAdams, like, that's, like, her. What Rachel McAdams' career, like, did after Mean Girls is what, like, Lindsay Lohan should have done plus more because she was already a bigger name at that point. Like, when Amanda Seyfried is, like, the second most famous person out of that movie, you're like, what?
Well, no, if you think about it, like, that movie, like, definitely, like, down the middle, they're, like, the successful ones, and then there are the not-so-successful ones. Because then there's, what's her name, Lacey Chabert, who, like, doesn't really do anything anymore either. I think she does, like, Christian movies now, like those, like,
a lot of Hallmark movies, I think.
Oh, Hallmark.
And she's always done a lot of voiceover work too,
right? Although the one thing, she was the first Meg in Family
Guy. She was the first Meg. Yeah. I don't know, like, I honestly would love to know what happened that they were just like, did they always just want Mila Kunis and, like, she couldn't do it, so they went with, like, Lacey Chabert, and then when Mila Kunis was like, yeah, I can do it, they were like, all right, bye.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the thing is, like, I've tried watching some of those early episodes, even the early episodes where Mila Kunis was Meg, and some of them are just damn near unwatchable. Like, not that they're, some of it's still kind of funny, but, like, I just feel like the earlier seasons of a lot of animated shows, I don't know why they're harder to get into, like, the more time there's been. You know what I mean? Like, the only one I can think of that isn't like that is Bob's Burgers, because
Bob's Burgers is a, like, it is a sitcom that would also work if it weren't animation.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't be as good because those voices are really what make it. But, like, if it was written as well and you cast actual actors, like, that show works because it's, like, rooted in realism. Like, Family Guy does not.
Right. No,
like, there's just no way you could remotely try to do Family Guy as, like, live action, which is why I think separates Bob's Burgers from these other things is because they're almost seemingly written like they're, like, live action sitcoms.
Yeah. That's true. I never thought about that before. But yeah, that is why, and I do think why Bob's Burgers has continued to, like, get better as it goes along, because I feel like there's a little bit more warmth there now. And, like, I don't know, there's something about, like, now that the family, even though, like, they all annoy the shit out of each other, like, they obviously love each other, like, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas, like, I would say even in the first season, like, there is still, like, a little bit more of, like, a harder edge to it. But, like, I don't know, they found, like, a really good groove on that show now, I think. But yeah, no, so this movie, basically it starts, like, when Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, it's just, like, right when they meet. So it's not, like, a straight biopic of either one of them. It is, I mean, just like the title, it is, like, their time together.
Yeah, it's their love story.
Yeah,
or so weird lack of, I don't know.
Well, the thing, like, I felt like you really could do, like, a really interesting movie. There's a great movie in here, not in this particular movie, but, like, their story is super fascinating. People have written books about them. Like, you know, he bought her, like, the biggest fucking diamond in the world for, like, the longest time. Like, that dude, like, I don't know, like, you could have done, like, something about, like, codependency and, like, people, like, needing attention from everyone else. And, like, there's something here. It's just not in Liz and Dick.
Yeah, no, true. Because, I don't know, the way the movie was told, too, is, like, in these weird, like, it was like an interview almost. It's like, oh, let's have Liz and Dick sit down and chronicle their life.
Right. And, like, it just doesn't make sense because that obviously didn't happen. And also, too, like, the way it's, like, stylized, you're like, are they dead?
Yeah, and, like, so are they both dead? Because this movie was came out in 2012, a year after she died. So is this supposed to be the two of them in heaven chronicling their love story, and they are the same, they are playing, like, in heaven, they are the ages they are when they, like, met and fell in love.
Right, and it's just, like, that is why, like, of course they don't actually, like, go into that, but, like, kind of what it seems like, and you're like, that is a wild choice. But also, it's a wild choice, but then they don't lean into it, so it is. It's just, like, this weird, separate thing where, yeah, they're, like, giving this interview, and they're, like, talking about how they met, and he's, like, I don't know. They're also, like, her and that guy just didn't seem like they actually had any chemistry together.
I think the fight scenes were the best because they probably, like, didn't like each other. And I was just like, oh, when they fight, I'm like, oh, I kind of believe this. And in reality, I Googled it. I was like, oh, is Richard Burton, like, 1,000 years older than her? Dude, in reality, he was, like, 7 years older than her. This dude was way older than 7 years for, like, Lindsay Lohan. Like, they cast somebody, like, too old. Or she was too young.
Yeah, no, I think that's what it was. Is like, okay, well, clearly you want her to be young so that she can play old. Why are you getting someone who was, like, the actual real age of Richard Burton, like, in his 40s or whatever?
Yeah, because, like, legit, I'm pretty sure he was only 7 years older, and I felt like this guy looked more than 7 years older than Lindsay Lohan looked.
Right, no. There was definitely, like, a weird, like, when they would do their scenes together, when they'd, like, make out or, like, you know, be, like, trying to act, like, sexy with each other, I'd be like, oh, God, he looks like her dad.
Yeah, and I guess she, like, had a thing for older men. Like, the guy that she was with before she was with Eddie Fisher was, like, 20 years older than her. Like, so clearly she had some, like, daddy issues.
Yeah, and he was the one that died in the plane crash, right? The one before.
Yeah, and then she sort of, like, broke up Debbie Reynolds' marriage just because she was bored.
Yeah. See, like, we could have a, like, I want an Elizabeth Taylor movie. I would love it. I grew up watching, like, all of those old movies. So, and, yeah. like, reading about that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, damn, like, her
and
life.
And there's a mystery to her. Like, she was the one that, like, knew that every dude in Hollywood was gay because she just had all these secrets. It's like people knew to, like, trust her.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want to know, like, Elizabeth's secrets. I, like, she herself is, like, a fascinating person. Outside of, like, it's like, if you're going to make a biopic about her, why are we doing it, like, with her, like, relationship with a man? Like, why are we attaching her to some man? I understand that most of her career in tabloid aspects was the fact she was married 8 times, 2 times to Richard Burton, and, like, her, people wanted to know about, like, her personal life. But, like, fuck that. Like, let's... Who was she, really? Because this movie, like, makes her seem like she's kind of, like, a piece of shit. And I'm like, I hope she wasn't this much of as, like, a spoiled little bitch. Yeah, I do love the idea of when she's like, he like insults her and he's like, your fingers are fat. And she's like, fuck you, buy me a big ass diamond for my fat fingers. Like, I do, I like love that though. It's like, oh yeah, fuck you.
Right. Well, no, I really think like this particular portrayal, just like in the writing and like, I think like the direction and stuff, it just like, yeah, Elizabeth Taylor comes off like very one dimensional. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you're right. She was super fascinating. She was, like, best friends with, like, you know, Montgomery Clift, like, all of these guys. And I think, like, there's something to be said about someone who, like, is such a loyal and, like, caring and loving person to her friends, but, like, can't seem to get that in a relationship. Like, if you're going to, like, you can compare and contrast it, and then that could be interesting.
Or is there just something interesting, like, there's something interesting about the fact that, like, she seems to surround herself and be comforted by, like, gay men in the fact that, like, there's no tension there and seem to alienate straight women, like, and alienating, you know, Debbie Reynolds. Like, at one point, they were supposedly best friends, and then she starts sleeping with Debbie Reynolds' husband.
Yeah.
So in that aspect of things is just like fascinating too. Like she has a functioning relationship with gay men, has sort of these weird like maybe jealousies with other straight women, and then sort of has these tumultuous relationships with the straight men in her life.
Right. Well, if you think about it, like I think having like surrounding yourself with gay men, there's something comforting about that, probably for her, because she knows all these dudes, these regular dudes, are just, like, trying to sleep with her. Like, they want, like, the attention. They want, like, you know, they want to be known for being with her. Whereas, like, these other men, these gay men, they're just like, oh, you're beautiful. Like, I love you. You're great. And, like, but, yeah, like, they don't want anything from her. You know?
Yeah. That's why her, like, personality is just fascinating in and of itself. And, like, who knows if you get Lindsay Lohan to be in an actual movie with a legit script and a legit director, and it's about Elizabeth Taylor in and of herself as the woman. Like, she may have been, I mean, I never doubt Lindsay Lohan's acting abilities. So I don't doubt that she could give a great performance as Elizabeth Taylor. This movie just did not, I don't know, it just did not give her the platform to do that.
Yeah, so in the movie, though, they meet doing Cleopatra, and, like, that, you know, that whole thing was already a scandal because they were both married. She's already been in a scandal because she stole Debbie Reynolds' husband away, and then, like, now she's making this movie, and, like, they meet, and, like, I thought this whole part was kind of weird, like, where she, like, didn't seem to like him at first, because, like, I guess he was, I don't know, I just thought it was done awkwardly, because he's, like, trying to compliment her, but I guess it, like, comes off as, like, asshole-ish.
Yeah, it comes off in the whole, like, oh, like, his first, like, words to her are, like, you are a very pretty girl, and I like when she's, like, ugh. Because, like, I think that, isn't character development, but I think that wants us to believe that, like, oh, there's more to Elizabeth Taylor than just being beautiful. And it's like, cool, I know there is. Dude, maybe show that, because you never show that throughout the movie.
Right. Or even if she's just, like, bored by that line. She's like, yeah, bitch, yeah. I know I'm beautiful. I've been looking at myself in the mirror every day for 30 years or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, I'm good.
Tell me something I don't know, Mr. Burton.
But yeah, I think they were trying to do with that sort of a, oh, look at this, because it's like, oh, maybe like the person you're most passionate about is like this person that you hate. And you think you hate him, but, you know, you're just like, you just want to have sex with him all the time and he's intriguing. And I think they were going for that, but it fell so flat.
No, exactly. That's, yeah, and I agree with that. And that's actually, like, that's very true, I think, a lot of the time. Like, someone that you, like, think you want to just, like, hit in the face is someone you actually want to, like, do it with. And, like, I do get behind that, but they, that was not conveyed. There were just, like, two scenes where, like, she just, like, got annoyed by him and, like, left. And then there's a scene where they're, like, working together. They're like, filming a scene and, like, they have to kiss. And then, like, they start making out. And then, like, the director calls cut. And, like, they keep making out. And, like, everybody's scandalized.
Yeah, they were like, who's going to tell Sybil? And they were like, who's going to tell Eddie? Because they immediately are like, oh, well, these two must just immediately want to go have sex. And of course they do. Like, the next cuts to, like, them running off to her trailer. And I'm like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. I gotta say, like, there are parts of this that I find so funny. And, like, again, though, like, this is a movie. Like, the first time I saw this, like, we all got together. It was, like, a small group of us. And we, like, dressed up like Liz Taylors, like, from different eras. So, like, you know, we were real pretentious idiots. But, you know, it was, like, just, like, a party, and we just got ripped. So the first time I saw this, I thought it was hilarious. It was, like, a great time. Now I'm, like, watching it again, and I'm like, oh, man. I was like, the alcohol really helped.
Yeah, I just thought, I think that Lifetime does a terrible job with biopics.
Yeah.
Like, I think they just think that they're like, oh, this person's life, like, she was married eight times to seven different men. Like, holy shit. Like, that in and of itself writes itself. And then when they think they have something that writes itself, it's usually super shitty. And you're just like, or I'm like, I don't care about this. I don't care about Elizabeth Taylor's, like, twice married to Richard Burton. Like,
right. And that's the thing. So it's funny because, yeah, it is on paper. Like, the whole thing seems very salacious. But you watch this movie and, like, none of it is even really that sexy. Like, you know, like, if it were at least, like, steamy, I'd be like, all right, well, at least we've got something. Yeah,
and like, Lifetime does, like, obviously it's Lifetime, so you can't get too sexual. But I felt like the Jodi Arias movie was, like, way sexier than this movie.
Right.
And this movie could have been, I just don't know why, like, lacked that sex appeal. And it could have been because, like, they did not have any chemistry whatsoever.
I think that really does boil down to what the issue of this movie is that the two, Liz Taylor and Richard Burton, just don't really seem like they want to be together. Like, they go through, like, the, you know, they're going through the script. They, like, say they love each other. They do all this. They fight. Whatever. But, like, you're watching it and you're like, okay. Like, it just isn't convincing.
Yeah, it was the pattern of, like, sex, fight, sex, sex, fight, sex. But, like, the sex wasn't sexy enough for you to be like, oh. And the fights weren't really that good enough for you to be like, oh, it warrants the whole, like, sex, fight, sex
pattern. Right, right. No, that's absolutely what it is. And, like, I gotta say, so Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is, like, one of my favorite plays and, like, one of my favorite movies. And so watching them act out a scene from that movie made me want to gouge my eyeballs out. I was like, bros, what is happening? And, like, not even, like, the first, again, like I said, the first time I was drunk, so I thought it was great. I thought it was the campiest, hilarious, most hilarious thing ever. And then I was watching it the second time, and I was horrified. Because, like, it wasn't even funny. It was just bad. And I'm like, this is considered one of the, like, best, like, two best performances in film. And we're getting a Lifetime version of these two doing it.
Yeah, that's so true. And the fact that they were like, oh my God, these two are drunk. And anytime he was drunk, he just played it so over the top. It was like, I'm here, and I was fighting, and I was like, dude, that you sound like, I don't even know. It was just so over the top. Like, I just gotta be so drunk.
For a movie that spans over 20 years, because it's like from like the 60s to like the 80s when he dies, yeah, not much happened.
And it opens with him writing, like, this love letter to, like... And they also say that, like, Elizabeth Taylor... The end. It ends with Elizabeth Taylor kept all of his notes until she died. But, like, we don't know that he wrote her, like, all of these love letters. We only have the opening scene where he writes her a love letter, and then that's it. Like, we don't have scenes where, like, he's just writing these, like, opuses to her. I'm like, oh, cool. So he wrote her more than one love letter? All right.
Yeah, no, and I wish they had gone into that more, because he would write a lot, actually. Like, they've published a couple of his diaries that I thought, like, I have a couple of them, and they're good. And, like, yeah, I guess he used to write to her, like, all the time. And, like, they do...
See,
yeah.
That's romantic.
Yeah, they don't incorporate
And they don't go
that.
Into that.
Yeah, no, they just... Again, it is just that first letter. But in real life, like, he... Even after, like, they divorced, like, he would still, like, write to her. And, you know... And then, like, I guess there was one letter that he wrote to her right before he died, which is probably what they're referencing in the first scene, which is, I think, the only one that Elizabeth Taylor never let anybody read. There was one that she kept to herself that she actually, I think, got buried it with. And then, like, everything else got published.
Like, I want to believe that these two were madly in love and could never have made it work, but this movie doesn't make it seem like that.
Oh, yeah, no. This movie, like, does not make a convincing argument to me that these two should be together. And yeah. I very much ship those two in real life.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, the fact is, like, even though this is a Lifetime movie, like, a movie was made about these two people's tumultuous relationship. And it's just fucking boring. I had to, like, check. It was like an hour and 28 minutes. I checked multiple times, and I like to see, like, if it was close to over, and, like, I'm just like, oh my god, it's not over yet. I got to, like, 40 minutes, and I was like, wait, what?
It's, yeah, because it's actually, like, right at, like, the perfect time for a movie. But, like, yeah, I don't, the pacing of it is off too. Like, it's just like, like, yeah, it drags. It's, yeah, oh, man.
I felt like the most exciting parts of this movie was when he was just, like, seething with jealousy, and it was, he didn't, like, make it not obvious, but, like, so that's a part of their relationship that I want to know if that was, like, a thing. Was he jealous of all of her success? Because it I feel like you could go into the fragile male ego really well, because that's why a lot of, you know, it's interesting, like, if the woman is more famous in the relationship usually fails. But if the man is more famous, it doesn't. And it's because of the fragile male ego.
No, for sure.
You know, like, as much as I, like, would have sex with Ryan Phillippe if he was right in front of me right now, I could probably tell you, even though I don't know the inner workings of the relationship, but, like, their relationship may have failed because when they got together, he was slightly more famous, and then, boom, Legally Blonde happens, and she's, like, the most in-demand actor in all of Hollywood. And how does that, like, when those tables turn, and not only do those tables turn, she's able to sustain her success into now.
No, you know? Absolutely.
Which is, like, oh, okay, it wasn't like, oh, she just had this one movie, and she's gonna kind of fizzle out. It's like, no, this is, like, one of the top women in Hollywood still to this day.
Right.
And how does that weigh on the fragile male ego? So I think that aspect of this movie was, like, maybe the only aspect where, like, there's a scene where they go to the Oscars, and at this point she already has one, so she's already a step ahead of him. They go, and he thinks for sure he's gonna win, and then he loses, and then he, like, but she's even says, like, oh, you can have mine, because to her, it's like, it's this award, and it's, like, sort of like, I've been doing this since I was, like, a child. This is, like, sort of given to me because it should be given to me, versus, like, this is all I want, and I earn this. I'm the best actor alive. Like, why do I not have an Oscar?
Right.
And then when they're both nominated for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, like, he's like, I'm not going to the Oscars. So instead of her being like, well, I'll go, because, like, yo, she's, like, does the thing where it's like, no, we'll just all stay home with the kids and your brother, and we'll make it a cute little evening. We'll all dress up, we'll listen to it on the TV, and she wins. And then he loses again and, like, freaks the fuck out to the point where his brother, who's, like, the only, like, decent person in this movie, is like, the fuck, you're married to Elizabeth fucking Taylor, dude. Why are you not, like, making love to that bitch right now because she just won an Oscar? Instead, you're here, like, drinking because you fucking lost.
Like, yeah, I felt like, yeah, the jealousy aspect, like, they, that could, like, if they had just kept focusing on that and, like, you know, they went on to, like, make a few other movies together. Like, I would have liked to have seen. Yeah, yeah. I would have liked to have seen, like, I don't know. Like, clearly they liked working together. And I think, like, you know, there is something about, like, the passion. Like, you know, like, you're more attracted to someone when you're, like, being creative together. Mm-hmm. But you don't even really see that in this movie. Like, we see Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. We see how that blows up. And then that's kind of it. Like, they don't...
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because that is an interesting aspect of, you know, any time that he was to be in a movie, and, like, they, like, he was supposed to be in a couple of things with, like, Sophia Loren, and she was, like, jealous of that and didn't want him to... Because, like, I mean, really, like, there's a part of you that doesn't trust him because he had a pattern of cheating on his wife with co-stars.
Right.
So she's now afraid, so she's like, well, I will be in this movie. And I love, imagine having the power of just being like, yeah, tell the producers that, like, yo, Elizabeth Taylor's going to be in this shit. And they're going to be like, okay, bye, Sophia.
Bye, you know, because you have that
power to be like, I'm going to be in this movie. And it's interesting. Did they have that sort of, like, jealousy where it's like, we're only working together now because I don't want you working with another woman or another man because I feel like you're going to cheat on me?
Right.
Of a type thing. And instead of him sort of, like, threatening her to never work with another man, like, she's in such a position that she could choose to be in all of these movies, or she could put him in those movies with her. Because it's fascinating. I watched Melissa Benoist did a video on Instagram about her abuse in her relationship with Blake Jenner, and she said one of the aspects of the abuse was that he, like, hated her even talking to another male co-star and sort of said, like, I only want you to act with me. And I think that's why he was truly her, like, love interest in season one of Supergirl. I think it's because he was probably like, I'm going to be, like, your love interest in that season. You know?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's
of course,
awful.
Of course, he's come out and tried to dispute it and say that she did, like, everything that she says in her video about all of the abuse she felt, he wrote in a stupid Instagram post and was like, she did all of these things to me. I'm like, dude, you're copying her video. Like, it's not even like you're coming up with original things that she could have done to you. It's like every aspect of what she said in her video, you said she did to you. And I'm like, yeah, maybe you guys were in a really bad relationship, but also she's not that good of an actress to have evoked that kind of emotion in that video for her to have, like, just made it all up.
Right.
And I like her. I think she's a really good actress, but that was just, like, not acting emotion. That was, like, a raw emotion. But anyway, so it's like you wonder if that was sort of, like, a relationship aspect that, like, Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton may have had, that sort of, like, jealousy. And maybe that's why they work together so many times rather than just being like, we love to work together.
That's actually a very interesting aspect. And I like that. Honestly, I'm sure, like, it's all intertwined. Like, I'm sure they did like working together. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, though, like, they probably started to resent working with each other. And, like, yeah, maybe it is on both of their parts. Like, them being kind of possessive. Mm-hmm. Of both of each other. Like, she's possessive of him, he's possessive of her. Yeah. And, like, I would love to see that movie. I would love to watch that.
Yeah. There were lots of aspects of this movie that, like, we've said this before with other Lifetime movies, that, like, there's something good within this.
Yeah.
But the product that you've given us is not that.
No, that is, like, the diamond in the rough or whatever, or maybe not exactly that, but, like,
but yeah.
There's potential.
Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of potential here. It's just, this was not it.
That's the thing. That is the thing, is watching it a second time, I did find this kind of a snooze, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But, like, yeah, no, so they get married, they're married the first time, and then, like, they get divorced, and, like, there's this whole thing where he has, like, a cancer scare.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, and, like, the way it was handled is super weird. Like, I guess, like, she's like, oh, all I want to be is with Richard, and, like, they're reunited. But, like, it's not even that romantic. Like, it's kind of like,
he just kind of sits there, and then, like, because he shows up, and she's like, oh, Richard, and he, like, goes to her bed, and then it cuts to, like, the next day, they're just, like, sitting in the room. They're, like, not even engaging with each other. The doctor comes in, and he's like, oh, yeah, remember when I seemed super nervous yesterday? Pfft, y'all good! I would have been like, why did you definitely think that I had colon cancer yesterday? And I know that there's sometimes, like, you can think it, but usually a doctor's not as grim. They're not like, yeah, you're definitely dying. To, like, the next day being like, oh, pish posh. Y'all good! You're the healthiest you've ever been! It's like, how the hell could I have potentially had colon cancer yesterday to now I'm the healthiest I've ever been? And then he's like, I don't want to spend another minute, second, not another day, a minute, a second without you. Marry me again. And it's like, yes. And then they get married again. You're like, okay. And then they don't even go into, that's this movie just didn't have enough time to do anything. Like, maybe make this a mini series if you're trying to do anything good, because they also just skip over their second marriage, like, entirely. They see them get married, and then it talks about how, and then we got divorced.
Yeah. Like, no, they don't even touch on it, like, why it didn't work out.
They ran out of so much time. Yeah, and I was just like, oh, okay, he doesn't want to spend another second without her, yet she still has two more marriages until she dies.
Right. Well, no, and then that's the thing, though, is that, like, then he remarries. And, like, actually, so in the 80s, like, the real Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor, they ended up, like, doing a play together one last time. And apparently it was a disaster. Like, apparently, well, I would have loved to have seen it because it sounds like it would have been fascinating to watch. But it was Blythe Spirit. It's this Noel Coward comedy. And it's supposed to be one of those, like, light, like, really snappy comedies about this it's about this guy who his first wife died, and basically her ghost comes back and is like, I don't want you to get remarried. What the hell? And, like, just, like, starts trying to sabotage it. And they were doing it. And apparently, like, it was just, like, unbearable. Like, it was like they were doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, but, like, this, like, comedy. And apparently it was just, like, it was, like, a total bomb. Also, too, like, she's not really a theater actress. Like, that he did true. Theater, but, like, you know, like, it's a very, there's a very different stamina that comes with, like, doing a show 8 times a week as opposed to, like, you know, I mean, they're both hard. Like, doing things like that are both difficult, but, you know, it's just a very, like, you just have a little bit more freedom with a movie is all I'm trying to say. But I would kill to, like, have seen that play because...
Oh, yeah. Even if it's terrible, like, that you're just so intrigued that you're just like, I saw Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton act on stage in front of me. Like, that must have been really cool, like, regardless of how shitty it was.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, like, they don't even really go into that in this movie either. And, like, there's just, like, the whole thing about how now, like, I guess he's dying and he's, like, with this other woman who, like, they could have, like, done something interesting here because, like, obviously he was content with his new wife, like, the one he was with.
Yes.
But, like, he didn't love her like he loved Elizabeth.
Oh, no, he, like, wrote a dying letter to, like, Elizabeth, you know, like, about how much he loved her.
Right, right. But, like, I felt like they could have even, like, delved into this a little bit. How, like, it's like, oh, like, I need this kind of stable presence in my life. You're too much.
Yeah, like, why am I like, I'm happy, but it's not. I think it's always like, okay, they may have been happy with the people that they subsequently married, but... And, like, loved them to a degree, but it wasn't that one love that you're never going to have again. Like, we were that love, and I did, like, I don't know. I'm just, like, if you want me to feel like this is that one great love, I didn't feel that. I needed to feel Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling in The Notebook. Like, I needed to feel that, and I did not feel that at all. And it's not even just the acting, it's the... You didn't write for me to feel that.
Well, that's the thing is that, like, even, again, this movie is pretty short, yeah. You know, for what it is. Like, you know, most movies where it's about someone usually are over 2 hours, just because, mm-hmm. like, there's a lot of, like, ground to cover. Mm-hmm. But, like, this, like, again, for being, like, an hour and 20 minutes, like, we didn't learn shit. Like, no. They fought sometimes. They acted together sometimes. Oh, and I guess, like, he liked her enough to, like, write her right before he died.
Yeah, so cool. And he bought her everything she wanted. And my favorite part about this was they had their business manager being like, y'all are fucking broke. Like, if they get to a point where they have to make movies to pay the bills, like, and right. I want to know how much fucking money did they spend? Granted, it was different. Granted, she was getting $1 million a picture. That was, like, her fee, and that sounds awesome even to me right now, but, like, and I understand that, like, probably $1 million in the 60s was the equivalent of Reese Witherspoon getting $20 million today, but yeah. Still, you're like, and his fee was, like, her, that was another thing, is that was, like, they hinted at it, is her fee is higher than his. His fee was, like, $350,000 right. a movie, and it's like, wow, you're getting that, that's great. Oh, by the way, I'll be in this movie, too, and I'll cut my fee in half, so pay me $500,000. So she's still getting paid more per picture by a substantial amount of money. So I want to know, like, they don't even show you, like, how much they're pissing their money away. Like, they live in a modest house, and then, like, he's just buying her jewelry, but there weren't, like, enough scenes for me to be, like, the whole, like, the business manager comes over and is like, oh, guys, you were broke. And I was like, wait, why are they broke? Like, we don't see anything that right. would make it be indicative of them being broke.
Right.
Except for when they are told they're broke, then we see all the scenes of their excessive spending.
Right. No, it's... that's absolutely right.
And it's like, oh, you are, like, you... And then she's like, I love flying private. And he's like, yo, what is this? He's like, what was this cost? And the pilot's like, I don't know, like $1 million. He's like, I'll write you a check. And the business manager's like, no!
Right. Well, that's the thing. And, like, well, I know in real life, there's, like, this thing. There was this story where he bought her, like, some sort of expensive car. I don't know. It was, like, some sort of Jeep, but it was, like, a pricey one. I don't know. But he had it custom painted pink and, like, had the letter E, like, emblazed on the side for Elizabeth. Like, I wish we could have seen, like, those cheesy-ass gifts. Like...
The best part about that is he's, like, buying her gifts probably with her money.
Yeah, it's, like, he's buying her everything she wants, but, like, yeah, like, it is probably with her money. Or it's, like, she could buy it herself if she wanted to.
Oh, easily. So that's why it's funny. It's, like, it's her money, but she, like, wants it to be, like, coming from him. And this is him making up to me, even though, like, I definitely purchased that and... insanely large diamond ring.
Right. Like, so funny. So, I'm just going to say, I don't really know that I thought there was a batshit moment in this movie. I will say, like, there's, like, the one fight, like, oh, I think, I will say maybe, okay, I'll say this was probably a batshit thing for me, although probably not. It's, like, one of the fights where they're together, but he's, like, going to leave to go back to his wife, who, like, tried to commit suicide. And she does the thing where she's just like, no, and, like, throws something at him. And, like, the throw is really weird. And then she, like, runs into the room. And, like, I think she tries to, like, take pills or something.
Yeah, like, all of their fights were just so over the top. And didn't feel like realistic fights.
Right, no, it felt like kids playing, like, pretend or something. It was such a weird feeling.
Like, they tried to be like, oh, these people are having great sex, but never made it seem like they have great sex.
Yeah, no, like, no, okay. No. It's like, you don't have to show me them having sex, but yeah, like, there's, like, an art to, like, that whole... making it seem like people just are banging like bunnies, like, off screen. Yeah. Like, that's always such a, like, electrical thing when you see it in a movie. But, like, this, not so much. No. This is like a wet blanket.
For truth. For me, like, this is going to sound awful, but My batshit moment is kind of like the most, one of the more ridiculous moments is like when his brother is like, I was like half paying attention in fairness because I was zoning out. So I'm like not really certain why the brother was walking through the house in pitch blackness with like at a lighter because could he not find the switch to turn it on? So he's like trying to get through the house with a lighter to like guide his way. He fucking like falls down the stairs and then it cuts to them at the doctor's and the doctor comes out and is like, it's not good news. He will never walk again.
That's right.
A spinal cord injury. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, why was he in the house? Like, why were there no lights? I was so confused. I was like, this is the weirdest, like, segue into, like, oh, some turmoil in Richard's life. And then the brother, of course, succumbs to his injuries. And that's a part of when their relationship strains again, is, like, when his brother dies.
Right.
His brother was somebody who was always there. His brother was, like, on movie sets with him, like, pretty much, like, lived with him.
Yeah.
And was, like, his confidant. And then he just, like, fucking falls down the stairs because he, like, couldn't find the light switch. I'm like, what is this? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's what happened in real life, but I imagine in real life it was somewhat of a more realistic situation for him to have fallen down the stairs. Like, this literally looked like he was looking for the light switch, couldn't find it. It was like, let me turn my lighter on. Let me step down and I fall down all the stairs.
Right. And like, or like, then at least if it is something like that, like call out how like senseless it was. Like, just be like, what the hell? Like, what, like weird shit can happen all the time, but someone needs to call it out. Like, be like, what? Absolutely. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean
he fell down the stairs?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. That was like,
That's funny. Or even like, I will say like the scene at the very end when she like goes, when she goes to his grave because like her wife, his wife wouldn't let her come to the funeral, which granted, got it. I think that's fair. She'll just make it about her. I'm all on board with you, Sybil, when you made that decision. But she like goes to the, she goes to the grave. And then just gets, like, accosted by the paparazzi. Which, we never...
And her hair was so bad.
Yeah.
Some of the makeup in this movie was just atrocious. There's, like, a scene where he has a fake beard, and you 100% know that that is a fucking fake beard. But anyways.
No. But yeah, no. And then that... Because... So it's definitely, like, her just, like, her privacy being encroached on. And, like, that's clearly what they wanted it to end on. And, like, yeah, obviously they had, like, a tabloid relationship, but before this point, we don't see them swarming on her like this. You know what I mean? And it's supposed to obviously be, like, an indictment on, like, you know, like, oh, maybe if it wasn't for the paparazzi, like, this love would have been fine or whatever, or without all the attention, I guess. But, yeah, like, you, again, like, we don't see that. We ever
spent a moment together, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But no, speaking of the hair and makeup, like, I remember when they first, when, like, they were first doing, like, this tests of it, like, straight up, they found, like, a Marilyn Monroe wig and just, like, dyed it brown, and that was her, it was, like, it looked like, I mean, her wigs looked like they were Party City wigs that they just, like, kind of combed over to look like the 60s.
Yeah, I'm just like, okay. Yeah, and the hair at the end, I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's like, no.
I was like, I don't think any man would come within 10 feet of me if I had hair like that. I'd be like, no, I get it, sir. Please, back up. Like,
at this point, she's just like, it's a repellent. She's not trying to, like, get people to look at her.
She just wants, she's like, I've been married to 7 different men. I'm done.
Yeah,
like,
no more. Donezo. But yeah, I think, where would you put this on the garbage meter?
Oh, this is like the hot garbage.
This, stinky.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is garbage that's been like hanging out in the sun for a while.
Yeah, like the raccoons are at it. Like, I don't know. It's just, it was just fucking boring. There's like, I felt like the story just like nothing drove the story. Mm-hmm. The acting was just like, yeah. And I like, again, not Lindsay Lohan's fault. Like You took one of the most, like, iconic women to ever be in Hollywood and made her boring. Congrats, Lifetime.
Yeah, it's, like, actually, like, it's kind of a feat. Like, it's kind of, I mean, I'm shocked. Because like,
color me impressed, Lifetime. You made Elizabeth Taylor boring.
All right. Well, yeah, guys. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode. Again, just rate us, review us, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Again, if you guys have any suggestions or anything that you want us to review, let us know. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Sweet, sweet garbage bin.